Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Over the past few weeks, we've had access to some of motion pictures' biggest blockbusters, from an animated classic through to new cinematic releases. Our team has explored stories of the human experience while discovering life-changing spiritual truths that connect with all of us. Now, again, the focus of these messages is not actually the movie itself. It's really the beginning of a conversation, because it's really all about the biblical truth that they help to illustrate. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 34, it says that Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. Movies are our modern-day parables. You know, I've always loved the entire movie experience, right? Opening night with friends, the smell of popcorn, that idea of being transported to another world when I was a kid was amazing. And now, even as an adult, my dad loves movies. We grew up watching them together, going to the theater together. And anytime we had an opportunity to watch a movie, it would be something we would both enjoy. I think that's one of the reasons why I still enjoy movies so much today. As a matter of fact, I think his love for science fiction and aliens probably was passed down to me, because I'm like that too, and I probably passed it down to my boys to some degree. Growing up, watching movies like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Star Wars, E.T., Blade Runner, Star Trek, as well as all the TV shows, the sci-fi television shows, Battlestar Galactica, the original Star Trek series, Doctor Who, Stargate, and X-Files. All of these shows just kind of sparked my imagination, and I was so engaged with each of them. You know, when I was a kid, because of our shared interest in UFOs and all things aliens, I remember walking through farmers' cornfields with my dad looking for crop circles that had been reported. We wanted to actually see them for ourselves. I remember visiting this well that was out in the middle of nowhere that had these strange phenomena that had been reported that we wanted to go and see it for ourselves. We wanted to see it with our own eyes. We watched shows and read books like Project Blue Book, which would account for all these supposed sightings of unidentified flying objects or alien encounters. As a matter of fact, I can still remember the intro to Project Blue Book, because it would say, "Ezekiel saw the wheel." Like it was just capturing what, even in Scripture going back, would have been man's interpretation of the things they were seeing in the heavenly realm, which to many of them would be very strange, very, very alien. You know, the truth is out there was the iconic tagline from the 90s sci-fi X-Files series. And I think it became the generation's motto for chasing the unknown, whether it was exploring government conspiracies or strange lights in the sky. It was really all about the thrill of the hunt. And that same fascination is just as real today. It's not long ago that the U.S. government released all these classified UAP files, and people were seeing some of these videos, and now we don't know what's real or not, because people are like, is that really happening, or is it just another AI creation to intrigue people's imagination or instill fear in people's minds? But I honestly believe, looking back, it was that pursuit in my life of the unknown and the wonder of something bigger, you know, that there had to be more than just this to life. I think it was those feelings that I experienced that led me in my understanding of who Christ was. And it helped me to understand and grasp his purpose for my life. Turns out the truth is out there, and it was him all along. And so when you connect with God, with the supernatural, there's this sense of something that is beyond us. And I don't know about you, but I want to be very close to the one who understands it much better than I do. Today's message features the newly released film called Project Hail Mary, which was adapted from a best-selling science fiction novel of the very same name. Now, due to copyright regulations, the clips that you'll see here today on site cannot be included in our online broadcast. So if you're here next year for our At the Movie series, plan to be here in person so that you can see and experience all of it. But I want to assure you that whether you're on site or online, these messages, with or without the clips, stand by themselves because of the power that's within them. So this story, Project Hail Mary, is about a man named Ryland Grace, played by Ryan Gosling. He's a former biologist turned middle school science teacher who suddenly wakes up on an interstellar spaceship light years from Earth. He's suffering from temporary amnesia, and as his memories slowly return to him, he begins to piece together that he, in fact, is humanity's last hope to save the world, to stop this microscopic alien parasite that is rapidly consuming the sun. And so while discovering his purpose during this time for being in deep space and frantically searching for a solution, Grace also crosses paths with a friendly alien engineer that he nicknames Rocky, whose home planet also faces the same extinction-level event that Earth is experiencing. So now you've got these two lone survivors. They need to bridge the gap between their different species using science and math and teamwork to save both of the worlds together. It's a great story. It's truly well done. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of Esther 4:14, it says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now, like young Queen Esther, you and I must recognize the moment that we are in today, that God has created you and I for such a time as this. We were created for purpose for this moment, and having that moment is very important. But God doesn't reveal our purpose all at once, like Ryland Grace in Project Hail Mary or Esther in the Old Testament. It takes time. It actually takes multiple moments that God gives us to fulfill and discover our purpose. And God invites all of us to faithfully take that next step, even when we can't see all of the steps beyond it, trusting God in the end with the outcome. Sometimes we find ourselves growing next to people, especially within the church, that are very different from us, almost alien. And so we've got to work to move past those differences and to even get to the point where we embrace those differences. And we realize that through community, that's part of our process of discovering and walking in the purpose that God has for each of us. He has wired you for community, and your purpose is all tied up in understanding that very truth. Now, the phrase Hail Mary has a few different meanings depending on its context. Now, in Christianity, where it originates, a Hail Mary is a traditional Roman Catholic prayer. It's a prayer that I heard almost every week of my life growing up at church. And it's based largely on greetings spoken to Mary in the Gospel of Luke. The prayer starts like this. It says, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Now, this first part of that prayer to Mary is got bits and pieces taken from scriptures in the book of Luke. Luke 1:28, the angel Gabriel meets Mary and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And then in Luke 1:42, Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Now, for Catholics, the prayer asks Mary to pray for believers. And although we today in our church, we honor Mary as the mother of Jesus, we don't pray the Hail Mary prayer because she's unable to answer our prayers. No more than I can answer your prayers or the person sitting next to you. But we do pray like Mary prayed. Mary learned the Lord's Prayer, and that same powerful prayer is a prayer that we pray today. So that's one context. Now, in football, a Hail Mary pass is a very long, desperate throw, usually made at the end of a game when everybody is very tense and there seems to be almost no chance, zero chance of success. It comes from the idea that the quarterback is making one last hopeful attempt, almost as if in making that pass, it's almost like making a prayer. Now, today, people use Hail Mary that way in a kind of a general sense to mean a last-ditch effort with slim odds of success. So those are two areas, two ideas that in the context of Christianity or in football, that term is used. Now, in this film, in the context of Project Hail Mary, both in the novel and in the film, the title kind of works on both levels. The mission is essentially humanity's last chance. It's a Hail Mary in the football sense, which is a desperate attempt when every other option has failed. But there's also a subtle spiritual connection here. Even though this story isn't overtly Christian, I believe the title stirs up themes of hope when circumstances seem impossible. It leads us to a place of surrender to something that's bigger than ourselves. And understanding that there will be times in our lives where God has called us to take a courageous step, sometimes when the odds seem set against us. So the world calls it a Hail Mary, a desperate last attempt. But you know what? Throughout Scripture, God specializes in working through situations that look impossible. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, it says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. Now, whenever I look at this merging of desperation and God making the impossible possible, I think of the woman with the issue of blood. And we see her account in the Gospels. We see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talks about a time when Jesus is moving through the crowd. It's very busy. People are reaching for him. They've heard of what he's done. They all want to get to Jesus. Now, this woman has had this medical condition all her life. She's spent her money. She's given and talked to every person, every healer possible, and has just come up short. She cannot solve it on her own. But she hears about Jesus. Her faith is stirred. And it's this desperate moment when she thinks to herself, if I can just push through the crowd, if I can just get to him and not even speak to him, just touch his robe, then I know that he can heal me. And so you got to see this picture for what it is, right? Everybody's pawing at Jesus and shouting his name. And this woman fights through the crowd and touches, the Bible says, the hem of his garment. And suddenly he stops and asks, who touched me? Now, his disciples, I'm sure, kind of chuckled and said, who touched you? Everybody is touching you in this moment. He goes, no, somebody touched me with great faith. Because what seems like a last-ditch effort to us is often the very place where God begins his greatest work. And that day, for that woman, her faith connected with God's power, and he made the impossible possible. You know, I think at some point in all of our lives, we've asked similar questions. What am I here for? Does my life really matter? What is my purpose? Like, I really need to know. And in this film, Ryland Grace, man, he never imagined the purpose that he was created for. As a matter of fact, he tried to run from it. He didn't want anything to do with it. He thought, somebody else can do this. And that's like us sometimes. Sometimes we think, you know what? I know God needs us to be a part of this plan to reach the world with the good news, but somebody else will do it. And so we try sometimes to run from it. Sometimes purpose finds us when we stop running, while we're simply being faithful and available. Pastor Rick Warren once said, "It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose." So throughout Scripture, we discover God's biggest project of all. We were born by his purpose and for it. And we learn, firstly, that purpose is often discovered, not designed. In Esther chapter 4, this is a powerful story that we referred to earlier, we see that Esther never planned to be queen to save a nation, no more than Grace in this movie planned to go from a middle school science teacher to the hero saving all of humanity. True purpose, honestly, usually looks more like obedience and availability. It looks more like faithfulness, often developed within the context of a church community. Ryland Grace doesn't volunteer for this mission willingly, and he doesn't actually do it because he's looking for glory. You see, in this story, circumstances were placed upon him where it was only him and his understanding of what needed to be done that could actually make a difference and help. So here's my encouragement to all of you. Stop waiting for the perfect calling. Stop waiting for the perfect moment. Be faithful where God has already placed you right now. The second thing that we see and learn is that purpose revealed, it follows his preparation. History making biblical heroes of the faith like Moses and Joseph, like David and Esther, who we've talked about, they never saw at the beginning the whole picture. They only saw in part. And through everything that they experienced in their life, little did they know that God was preparing them for what was yet to come. You see, Grace's years as a science teacher became exactly what he needed when it mattered the most. All of those skills, all of those experiments, all of that learning came to bear in this moment. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Never forget that nothing you've experienced in your life is wasted. God's preparing you, even when you can't see it happening. And he's shaping you for what he knows you'll face. That's why oftentimes we want to skip the first three steps so that we can get to the last three steps. But God's like, no, you need the first three steps to prepare you for the next three and the next three. It's a progressive growth, our discipleship. And then finally, we learn that purpose always involves serving others. Purpose isn't about success. It's not about comfort. It's not about fame. You see, Jesus demonstrated true purpose is all about laying down your life for other people. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others." And then in John 15, 13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." You see, this movie, it tells the story of a man who repeatedly chooses sacrifice over self-preservation, maybe reluctantly at first, but it grew. The greatest purpose ever lived was Jesus giving his life for this world. For you and me. You see, I believe every hero story really points to the greater hero. Unlike every human hero, Jesus chose the mission. Jesus knew the cost. Jesus came willingly and he gave his life so that you and I could live ours. Our purpose ultimately begins with following him. Now, today, as we close in prayer, I want to ask you some questions. Or better put, I want you to ask yourself some questions. Ask yourself, where has God already placed me? What gifts has he already given to me? Who needs me to faithfully serve this week? Who can I serve? Is it your spouse? Is it your kids? Is it your extended family? Is it your friends and your C group, your small group at church? Is it your church at large or the community? Maybe it's your neighbor. Where can you serve? Who needs me the most? I want you to remember this as we close in prayer, that you don't need to know your entire purpose to take your next step. We always say we are that kind of church. We are a next steps church. And so the resources that we have designed are to help you walk in your purpose. Our Discover classes, two classes, Discover Calvary, understanding who we are, where we're going, and discovering your purpose, are designed to help you get on that track. Our What's Next C group. This is an opportunity to build relationships with other people over a number of weeks during the early service, and then joining them in the second service. But this is a great opportunity for you to grow as a disciple and grow in relationships with other people that are heading in the same direction. Project Purpose. It's the biggest purpose that God has created for each of us, to fully understand that purpose starts with following him. So today, as we close in prayer, I want to pray for you. Everyone who's here gathered, everyone who's joining us online, if that's you, if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. I need to know Jesus. I need to follow him. Or maybe you need to come back. Maybe you need to realign yourself. Then today it would be my honor to pray with you, because understanding your purpose starts right here. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for the word. We thank you that you are the greatest definition of a purpose that's been lived properly. Because, Lord, you came willingly. You gave yourself sacrificially for the world. And you did it in a way as an example that each of us, as we follow you, could live in that purpose. So if that's you today, pray this simple prayer with me now in this moment. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And help me to live this life with purpose. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God's best to you, Calvary. Listen, next week we're very excited. Our summer speaker series kicks off, and you're not going to want to miss a week of it. Throughout the month of August, you're going to hear from some very gifted pastors and teachers of God's Word who love our church and who we love. And so don't miss it, and come and bring a friend. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you then.